This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. We'll have a report from Don Wick. This is Crop Watch, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Bayer Crop Science, ProSeed, BASF, and Hefty Seed Company. American Crystal General Agronomist Joe Hastings says Crystal's beet growers made good planting progress last week.
Oh, we had a great planting progress last week. We probably put 50% of the crop in last week from Monday to Thursday evening, right? And total now we're sitting at about 74% for the Red River Valley for Crystal Sugar to be planted at. So really nice to be planted that early this time, you know, this time of year right now compared to the last few when we've been later than normal. We saw some nice germination on our first stuff that was probably planted, you know, from April 11th, you know, through the 15th or before we got that first rain in April. And that stuff was just starting to probably poke out of the ground on Thursday a little bit or just close to it. Granted, a lot of germination happening with that, and now this last week we're seeing beets germinating as well with this rain and warm, you know, warmer soil temperature.
Weekend rains should help activate the weed control chemicals.
Yeah, well, that's one nice thing about this year. We've got some nice rains to activate all the pre-emerge and pre-plant incorporated soil plant herbicides that we put down, and a lot of growers do that because of Roundup-resistant water hemp and kochia issues, so really a nice rain to activate those soil applied herbicides, so that's really nice.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys are prepped where the sprayer is right behind the planter or the custom applicator is right there ready to go when they're done planting the field. So it's important to get it on because you don't know when you get back in the field again, right, with rains like this.
Pope County, Minnesota farmer Paul Freeman says recent rains have stalled field work, but after a dry 2023, the rain is welcome.
I'm about half done with the corn. Penland Plung, it was quite dry. Doing some maintenance work and a flue after the snow went away because it was so dry, but now we got puddles on top of the hill, but good to have moisture.
Freeman hasn't started on his soybeans yet.
With the forecast and stuff, it's going to be another week, I think, before it's decent in the field.
Central Illinois farmer Matt Bennett says wet weather is keeping him out of the field, but the crop that was put in before the rains is emerging.
It's coming up, actually. We're very happy about that. Seeing some corn spiking, and beans are pretty much right at the surface. So, you know, getting all this rain, continuing to get rain, sure hadn't hurt anything. It's kind of kept the ground soft, and we've had a fair amount of sun, and it's kind of kept that soil more warm enough, in my opinion. And so we're feeling very good after the last 24 hours seeing some of this corn spike through.
Bennett says the crop escaped the freezing temperatures.
We had a little bit over the weekend and before, you know, down in the mid-30s and low-30s. But as far as, you know, a freeze, I mean, nobody's got anything up, so it's nothing to get super worried about. You know, when we look at how much rain we've got, though, over the weekend we had 2.25 inches. So, I mean, we're pretty wet down here. You move north of me not too far, though, and some of these guys have had 3, 4, 5 inches. So, definitely awfully wet in the state of Illinois as a whole.
That's Crop Watch, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Bayer Crop Science, BASF, ProSeed, and Hefty Seed Company.
This is a critical time for the Farm Bill. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick is in Washington, D.C. and has this update.
Our Washington Watch coverage is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation, NDFB, and by South Dakota Farm Bureau, your trusted leader in agriculture. National Council of Farmer Cooperatives President and CEO Chuck Connor has seen his share of farm bills and said this is the most partisan farm bill he's ever seen. Connor, who was the USDA Deputy Secretary during the George W. Bush administration, said this farm bill process needs to start.
Even if it's a partisan process, get something out there, get a bill that, you know, people can begin to look at, you know, start marking it up in committee and get it started. You can't finish something that never starts. And so we you know, we got to start. And I'm thrilled that the chairman has said sometime around that 15th or 16th of May, we will have a farm bill markup. And 3 or 4 days prior to that, we'll see bill language that he will distribute. He's sharing a few odds and ends details out there with some of us, and we realize that it could well be a partisan bill that won't get any other Democrats on the House Ag Committee to vote for it. But again, it's a start, and that's what we need at this point, Don.
Timing is critical for this important piece of legislation.
You know, our biggest problem right now is Congress is in session between now and the end of the year, so few days that even if this were an easy farm bill, which it is not, it would be hard to get it done just because of the amount of time that Congress is in session and how much they have to do with, it's a presidential election year, you got party conventions, they're never in session during any of those kinds of periods, and it's just going to be hard to get done.
The Red River Farm Network coverage from Washington Watch, being made possible by the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, by Associated Milk Producers Incorporated and its Dinner Bell Creamery, and by the Minnesota Farmers Union. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
ADM Archer Daniels Midland is reporting fiscal year 2024 first quarter earnings of $1.3 billion. That's down 24% from the first quarter of 2023. ADM's Ag Services and Oilseeds segment is reporting operating profits of $864 million during the first quarter. That's down 29% from a year ago. ADM says its Ag Services subsegment operating profit was down 33% from a year ago, primarily due to the stabilization of trade flows leading to lower global trade. Go to RRFN.com. You can sign up for our weekly Red River Farm Network e-newsletter. FarmNet News will hit your email box every Monday. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. With the Farm Bill continuing to dominate discussions in D.C., National Pork Producers Council President Lori Stevermer says the NPPC is hard at work advocating on behalf of pork producers.
We understand that Representative Thompson has talked about dropping the Farm Bill before Memorial Day, and so, we're just being ready for when that happens. It's an important bill to us, the funding for the animal health part of it, national labs, stockpile, veterinary supplies, and so forth. So we just want to really be ready, and when that happens, make sure that we're able to advocate like we should.
The spread of diseases like bovine and avian influenza highlight the importance of research and prevention.
Certainly, there's a lot more discussion in the industry with disease, and I think two things are important to remember. Number one, food is safe. The pork is safe, pasteurized milk is safe, and so from a food safety aspect for our consumers, we want them to know food is safe. But once again, it also shows the value of those national veterinary labs and the testing that they're going to do. So the additional funding that we want in the Farm Bill, whether it helps poultry producers, dairy producers, or us as pork producers, there really is critical to have that capacity for testing.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says planting progress throughout the Midwest has been good so far this spring.
We've had a lot of wheat and some sugar beets start going in the ground last week, and up and down the valley it's been going really strong since probably midweek last week, and looks like we'll go hard until we get rain sometime tomorrow, but otherwise we've had a lot of progress.
Despite some lingering frost, Rippey says soil conditions look good.
Seems like the heavy ground hasn't been any frost issues, but things are going well there. As we go east and to the west, things are a little slower, and I think we're getting some frost coming out of the light soils, and actually probably getting wetter before they're getting drier. But all in all, up and down the valley where it's been going, its field conditions been really good.
In North Dakota, there were just over 4 days suitable for field work during the week ending April 28th. Topsoil moisture rated 21% short and 66% adequate. 20% of the spring wheat has been seeded with 1% emerged, 6% of the corn, 4% of the canola, 50% of the sugar beets, and 15% of the potatoes have been planted, all well ahead of their 5-year averages.
In South Dakota, the National Ag Statistics Service says there were 3.7 days suitable for field work for the week ending April 28th. Topsoil moisture is rated 13% short and 75% adequate. 13% of the corn, 62% of the spring wheat, and 4% of the soybeans have been planted. 10% of the spring wheat has emerged. Winter wheat is rated 29% fair and 61% good.
The NASS says Minnesota had 4.1 days suitable for field work during the week ending April 28th. Topsoil moisture is rated 16% short and 64% adequate. 30% of the corn, 14% of soybeans, and 48% of spring wheat, with 19% of potatoes and 81% of sugar beets have been planted. 5% of the spring wheat has emerged.
The announcement of year-round E15 sales for 8 Midwestern states being praised by many in the energy and ag sectors. According to Growth Energy Senior Vice President of Regulatory Affairs Chris Bliley, the emergency waiver for summer sales of E15 could not have come at a better time.
Great work by the governors and stakeholders in those states to get permanent year-round sales for those 8 states starting in 2025. And then just a week ago, we saw the administration announce that they will be issuing an emergency waiver to allow summer sale of E15 for this summer. Really important news based on the supply conditions out there with what's going on in Ukraine and the Middle East. And so they want to ensure that consumers and drivers have access to this low-cost, affordable fuel blend. And so really great news that they've made this announcement, and it will be continue to be available this summer.
Bliley says the announcement's an important next step in sustainable fuels.
For this summer, this emergency waiver will provide, again, another summer where we'll get through. And what the governors have done is permanent in those 8 states, but we hope this will continue to drive discussion on legislation that ultimately fixes this problem permanently. There's been good legislation introduced on both the House and the Senate side. We're strongly supportive, and we hope that we can get that moving and get it done so that there is a permanent nationwide solution. Again, this provides a fuel that's between 10 and 30 cents a gallon less than regular gasoline, has tremendous economic benefits for American agriculture as well as air quality benefits.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service has released the final rule that will require electronic identification ear tags as official ID for certain classes of cattle traveling across state lines. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President of Government Affairs Ethan Lane says these measures are strictly to prevent industry shutdown in case of a disease outbreak.
If we were to see a foreign animal disease outbreak, God forbid, if foot and mouth disease were to come back onto U.S. soil after 100 years, we know that would be a 72-hour ground stop immediate were there to be a confirmed case here in the U.S. That alone would be devastating economically to the cattle and beef supply chain. So having technology in place that would allow us to unlock that supply chain quickly, to demonstrate those herds that are free of FMD, to get them moving, to demonstrate to our foreign trading partners that we can continue to ship beef into those foreign markets, becomes critically important. So having the technology in place and the system in place to demonstrate that as quickly as possible is paramount to making sure that this industry is able to keep the trains running.
Lane says USDA is only allowed to use data from EIDs for limited purposes.
You know, we're going to continue to really keep an eye on this. We know there are producers with concerns. We know there are you know, our state affiliates and members across the country have different views on this. We have expected this rule. We know that it's coming. Our job now is to make sure that it doesn't get outside the scope of what's on paper and make sure to keep the federal government honest with how they implement it and protect our producers, and we expect to do just that. So we're looking at fall implementation, and producers can still grandfather those animals in under the old system now through that go-live date in November, should they want to do that. There is a grace period here before this rule goes live.
Quick look at markets before we leave you. Minneapolis, July wheat down 2 cents at 7.05 and 3 quarters. Chicago down 5. Kansas City 14 lower at 6.36 and 3 quarters. July corn futures down 2 and 3 quarters at 4.46 and a half. July soybeans 18 and a half lower at 11.63 and a half. Live cattle, June down $2.35. Feeders, May down $3.45. This is the Red River Farm Network.